Begin the current daf, Masechtas Bechoros, daf Mem Dal. Begin on the top line of the Yamin, where the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our previous Mishnah, which was discussing from the topic of our parak, Mum and Elu, these blemishes that are a psul, invalidation in the kohen that's doing the avodah. Our Mishnah spoke about the eyes as a Mum relates to them. So the Mishnah said, Shtein of Lamala, if the two eyes are above, Shtein of Lamata, if the two eyes are below, and so on, different problems with the eyes. So the Gemara asks, "Mash te'in of lamalish te'in of lamata." What does it mean? His two eyes are above, and his two eyes are below. And that is ilay mash te'in of lamala. If you think what it means to say his two eyes are above, it means the chazi lamala. It means that his eyes are in the regular place as they normally anatomically are. But whatever he sees what's up above. And when it says te'in of lamata, when it says his two eyes are below, it means the chazi lamata. He only sees what's below. If that's the case, then the next case is of the Mishnah of Eina Achas Lamala Veina Achas Lamata, one eye above or one eye below, would mean the Chazoi Eina Achas Lamata Veina Achas Lamala, that one eye sees above and one eye sees below. But then ask the Gemara, well, Hainu, then that's the next case right after that in the Mishnah. Roya Sachedr Vesaliya Ka'achas, that he sees the room, which is below, and the attic, the upper story, which is above, at once as the same thing. Well, then that's the same thing as the previous case of Eina Achas Lamala Ve'Eina Achas Lamata. Sela rather says the Gemara, Shtein of Lamala, what does it mean his two eyes are above? It means the Kaiman Lamala. It means literally that the eyes are anatomically, physiologically higher up than they normally are in a normal person. And Shtein of Lamata, when it says that his two eyes, mean that, which means to say that they're on his forehead, not like a normal person. When it says Shtein of Lamata, when it says his two eyes are below, it means the Kaim Lamata, they're actually lower than they are in a normal person. Eina Achas Lamala, the Eina Achas Lamata, when it says one eye above, one eye below, is the Kaim, Eina Achas Lamala, Eina Achas Lamata, means actually one eye is higher and one eye is lower. Now that's what the Mishnah continues. It says, V'kaimi kesidrinami, that even if the eyes are in the normal way as they normally are, but V'roya sached v'saliya ka'achas, but he sees with one eye the attic, one eye seeing up, and one eye sees down when they're in their normal places, that will also be absurd. So one is regarding the eyes in a different place, and one is even in the same place, but if their two eyes are seeing in different places, even though they're in the right place, that would also be considered a mum to invalidate the coin. So says the Gemara, where do we know these invalidations of the eyes, that they're considered a mum for the coin? But Tanabana could learn the Braisa, the Pasuk says, Be'enoi, and it talks about the different psulim of the Kayin, where it says Taval Be'enoi, that there is a mixture in his eye. Now, that word Be'enoi, it could have just said in the Pasig that if he has a Dak, which is a cataract, or Taval, which is a mixture of the different parts of the eye, and I would have known that it's in the eye. So why does it have to say the word Be'enoi? To tell you, Komasha Be'enoi, whatever is a flaw in his eyes, Mikan Amar, from here is where we learned the halachas of our Mishnah, Shtein of Lamata, if his two eyes are lower down, Shtein of Lamala, his two eyes are higher up, Eina Achas Lamala Veina Achas Lamata, one eye is higher, one eye is lower, or Vereya Sachedu Vesali Kachas, or even if the eyes are in the regular place, but at the same time when he's looking out, one eye is seeing the attic and one eye is seeing the regular room, or if he's talking with his friend, V'achar Oimer Li Roy, and someone else is saying he's looking at me when he's really looking at him. Again, another problem with the eyes, that these are all learned out from the word Be'enoi, that they're all going to be considered a mum. Now, Tanan Bar Amar Braisa, the Pasuk says over there in the earlier two psukim before that, it says Iver, where it talks about the blemishes in the kain, that if he's blind. Says the Braisa, Bein Suma B'Shtein, of whether he's blind in two eyes, Bein Suma B'Achas Mein, of whether he's blind in one eye, it says he's blind. Even if it's one eye, would be considered a mum. Now, says the Braisa, Chavarver v'hamayim hakavun minayin. How do we know that if he has permanent white spots or water in his eye, that that's considered a blemish to him? Tamalema ish iver. It says, a blind man. Why do I have to say the word ish? The extra word ish is telling us things that are similar that also have blemishes in the eyes that affect his eyesight. Now, Amar Rabbi says, Lomali the kasr v'achmana. Why does it have to say many different elements where it says ish iver, a blind man, it says dak, which is the cataract, and taval, be'enoi, and the mixture in the eye. Why do we have to mention them all separately? Why wouldn't we just know it from one category? So on that he says, shrich, they're all necessary. Dikast v'achman the iver, had the Torah said only the word blind, which that would have sounded like his eyesight is totally taken away and it's non-existent. Mishum de les nuklal, I would say that's a mum because it's non-existent. But regarding the permanent white spots and the water, where the isnube, where the eyes are there, he could there, it's not a total like it's not there at all. Then loy, that would not be considered mum. Because of Rachman Ish, that's why we said we learned from the next word ish to say that even that would be considered mum. Now, because Rachman Ish had the Torah only written that the word ish. Mishum de lekachazi klal, because there also, although the eyes are there, is not totally blind, but he can't see at all because of the water and the. So although the eyes are there, not blind, but he still can't see because of the permanent white spots and the water. Avam mechasriyasa, but if let's say it only diminishes his eyesight, but he can still partially see, I would say lay that would not be considered mum. Because Rachman adak, that's what Torah says, the word dak, the cataract, which only diminishes the eyesight, but not like it's not totally taken away. That even that's considered mum. Now, because Rachman adak, the Torah said, the cataract, mishum de mechastron, because that at least diminishes the eyesight. Avam mevavalisa, but if let's say that the white goes and cuts through the iris into the area of the pupil, and that doesn't diminish the eyesight at all, then loy, that actually that would not be considered mum, because Rachman HaTaval, that's what you have to write the mixture, that is also considered mum. Now, because Rachman HaTaval had to only written the mixture, Mishum de Mevalvalan, because there's a mixture. Mishum Mishun Yusa, but if let's say that there's just a deviation in where the eye is, like we said before, one if it's higher or lower, or he sees at the same time a higher story and a lower story, that loy, that would not be considered mum. Because of one the Be'ena, that's why they said, right, Be'ena, all women in the eyes, even including these, that they're all considered blemishes for the kind. Now, Amarova, he qualifies, and he says, Hilkach, therefore as follows. Kol machmas ki yusa, whatever is because of that one can't see, so asim ish, that is, we said, we learn from the next word ish, which, again, blind is totally can't see, but the white, the permanent white spots in the water, which is that it's diminishing, that the one cannot see through those white spots in the water, that we learned out from in the Bryce, so we learned out from the next word ish. So anything that has that, it makes it impossible to see through that element, that would be learned out from the word ish. Mechasur yusa, something that only that blemish only diminishes the ability to see. That's midak. That's learned from a cataract, which also doesn't make it impossible, but there's that filmy thing that makes it hard to see. Mevavalisa mitaval, anything that's a mixture in the eyeball, that's learned from taval. And mishnayusa mibeina, anything that's a deviation in the eye, like we said, higher, lower, all these things, that's learned out from the word be'enoi in the pasik, which is extra to teach all these other psulim in the change of the eye itself. Now the Mishnah continued with mumen in the kain is sachi shemesh. So Tanav Yosef, Yosef Torn Abraisa, it means sunny shemesh, means someone who hates the sun, meaning he can't see the place where the sun is shining from. That is a mum. Zagdian, so Machvir Avuna pointed, he illustrated, chad mididan v'chad miditu. One of ours and one of his. Meaning, someone that has one eyeball which is similar to those who are sitting opposite me, and one of my eyes, that would be considered mum. Not Rabbi Hud was sitting opposite him, whose eyes were different, and that was saying that's going to be the psul of Zagdian as a mum. Now, the Ikbad Rabbi Hud was taken the front that he was being used as this illustration of the what would be considered the mum in the kain. Now, it may be learned in the Braisa, however, that seems to refute this. The Braisa says, Shachvana, the mum of Shachvana, is Shegvin of Sheikhvim, that if his eyebrows are very long and they're hanging over on his eyes, that's a mum. Zagdum, which is this one that we just clarified, the Zagdin of Amishnah, the Braisa says, Echad Shachav Ech Lavin, if one eyebrow is black and one is white, oh, that's the mum. Well, that's not just what Rav Huna said. He said that it's when the eye is different than the other eye. So says the Gemara, no, Tana, the Tana learned that Kol Zugud Delo Shabi La Dodi, any peer that's not the same, Zagdim Karli calls it Zagdim, which Zag is the peer and Dum is that it's something that it's a problem with it. So that's the same thing, yeah. Two eyebrows are different colors, or two eyes are different, they're all zagdin, it's not a contradiction. Now the Mishnah continued, Hatsirun, that's considered a mum. So what's that? So the Gemara explains, Einav terutis. If his eyes are round, or vitsiranias, which is even more round than terutis, or daimais, or it tears a little bit, or delphais, or that's even tearing more than regular tears, or tardais, which is even more than delphias. That these are all considered the mum of Hatsirin. Now, moreover, Tanu Litna Braisa, and the Gears is Haziver, or Vahaloifin, or Vahatimir, that these are also considered mum, and related to the eyes. What are they? So, Ziver is the Mazur Eine, which means to say that his eyes can never rest. They're always moving around to and fro, and they can't stay still. That's a mum. Leifen is the nefishin zifei, which is eyelashes are very too long. And timir is shetamu zifen, where his eyelashes has stopped, meaning that there are no eyelashes. Now, these are considered mum. On this last one, the Gemara asks, v'hane gabi mumit tanilu? What are you saying that, as we just quoted, that this tamu zifen of this timir, which is the no eyelashes, this was counted by the blemishes? Is that a mum? But our Mishnah clearly doesn't make it into a mum. It just is because of maras ha'ayin, because it's unsightly to look at. Because what's not within our Mishnah, it says, shenashur risei einav, if the eyelashes fall out, possibly the maras ha'ayin, which we said in the previous stuff is the lowest category. It's not a real mum. It's just, it's unsightly to look at. Therefore, you can't do that vayda, but it's not a mum. So it's more like, it's not difficult, because our Mishnah is the shtur garmude. It's talking about where the roots are still there. That's not a mum. That's only because of maras ha'ayin, if the actual eyelashes, the hair themselves fall off. This Bryce is talking about that even the roots are not around. That's something that's considered a mum, which is more severe than just the category of maras ha'ayin, which would be over at least that Israel's sake. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the mumim of the eyes and others. Einav gedelis kishel egel, if his eyes are as large as that of a calf, oiketanis kishel avas, or small like a goose. Or gufoy godl meivarb, or if his body is larger than his limbs, for example, his hands, his feet, his thighs, a kot meivarb, or his body is smaller than his limbs, or meaning in relation to his limbs. Or chayt me godl meivarb, or his nose is larger than what would be, of course, it's obvious, we're not talking about the actual contrast, we're talking about in relation to. Chayt me godl meivarb, his nose is too big than his limbs, a kot meivarb, or too small for his limbs. Or hatzimim vatzimeya, which the Mishnah says, ezeu tzimeya. It's kosha osnav ketanif. Ketanif. If his ears are small, that's a mum. Or vahad saimim, which is kosha osnav daimis lisvug. If his ears are similar to a sponge, which they crunch up and they're closed, these are considered mum. Or svasa hel yoinoi devas al tachtain. If his upper lip is hanging over his lower lip, or tachtainoi devas al yoinoi, or his lower lip is hanging over his upper lip. And that says the Mishnah raises a mum, that's considered a blemish. And finally, b'shenish rishinav pasal. If his teeth fell out, that's invalid, again, not because of a bona fide mum, or even because of that it's not dimel lazer shalaron, rather than the marasai, and it's unsightly, and therefore this kain should not be doing that later. Now, relating to one to the halacha of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings it Amar Rav, it says, Moshe Rabbeinu Eser Amasai. Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amas tall. Now, the assumption of the Gemara, therefore the Gemara is going to ask, it means with his own amma. An amma is the distance of the middle fingertip till the elbow, and that's an amma. And the assumption was that Moshe Rabbeinu himself was 10 of his amas. Shanem, like it says in the Pasuk in Shema, it says, V'yifres es ha'oyel al ha'mishkan, that he went and he put over the covering over the Mishkan, on top of the Mishkan. Now, me parsley, who went and who was this? Who did this? Who put the oil over the Mishkan? Which was the Urias, the curtains. It's Moshe Rabbeinu parsley, he put it on top. Now, it says in the Pasuk, Esa amas arecha keresh, that the planks were 10 amas long, which when it's put up was 10 amas in height, and Moshe Rabbeinu had to put it over it. Obviously, he was 10 amas tall. Now, on that, Amalei Rav Shimi bar Chiya l'Rav, he says, Imkei nasis l'Moshe Rabbeinu b'amum, if that's the case, that he was 10 amas tall, you're making him into someone that had a blemish, because his body was too big for his limbs. Because every single person, generally the ratio is, his body is 3 amas of his amma, meaning the distance of his elbow to the tip of his middle finger, the whole arm, is an amma. And he's 3 times that amount, which is approximately around 6 feet. Now, you're making Moshe Rabbeinu into Bamum, because here you're making him 10 times that amount. He was 10 amas. And generally a person's 3 times. Because now we learn in our Mishnah that says, Gufa God Meivarv, if his body is too big in relation to his limbs, like cut Meivarv, or too small, he's a Bamum. So you're making Moshe Rabbeinu into Bamum. So Amalei said to him, no, Shimi Ba'amashal Keresh Kama. What we were saying was, when he's 10 amas tall, was not his own amas. It was 10 amas, as the Raya was, as the proof was, regarding the Kerashim, which is the length of the planks, were measured not with the amas of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu himself was actually relation 3 times of his own amma. But in regular amas, he was 10 amas tall. Now, although we actually taught in the previous daf mem and alf that when it was talking about the different measuring sticks of an amma, it said that by the gate of Shushan Abira in the Beis Hamikdash, there was a stick that was a half a etzba more than Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rashi explains that wasn't really Moshe's own ammas, because Moshe Rabbeinu's own amma was most definitely much more than that which was used for the Moshe Rabbeinu, which that was just six tvachim. And Moshe Rabbeinu was much longer, his own amma, and therefore his own body, which was 10 ammas, was actually only three times that of his own amma. When we say it was 10 amas, it means in the generic amas, and therefore he wasn't a bamum, because yes, his body was in the ratio of 3 to 1 of his own amas. Now the Mishnah said, chayk megadol v'chulu, if his nose is too big in relation to his limbs, that's also a mum. So Tanu learned the Braisa, that if his nose is too big than his other limbs, too much, how much is that? That's ke'etzba ketana. It's like the measurement of the width of the smallest finger, that's a blemish. Now, how do you evaluate that? You measure his nose to the nose of someone that has a longer body as him, and you see, and if his nose is a half an etzba more than that other person, then that's considered a mum. Now, the Mishnah said, hatzimeim vatzimeya, that these are also considered with blemishes regarding the ears, if they're too small or if it's like a sponge. Now, tana af hatzimeich, we learned a word that's very similar, also related to the ears, also tzimeich. Now, Lavia Yadi Rabbanu Mai Tzimech, the rabbis didn't know what was this word and the translation of Tzimech. Now, Shamalahu Tayyad Avakama, they heard this Arab merchant who was saying, Mande Bayi Tzimech, who wants a Tzimech? Vishtakech Gad Yechaziz, and it turned out what he was selling was, which that clarified for them what this word Tzimech was, that there was a goat that its ears were very long until it was flapping and hanging over to the bottom. And if a person has those types of ears, that's considered a blemish in the coin. Now, related to this, Amrav Chizda, he says, Eiz she'in l'karnayim, regarding a goat that doesn't have horns, although it usually does, over roch l'sheish l'karnayim, or a sheep that has horns, although it usually doesn't, k'shein l'gav mizbeach, it's still valid to be brought as a karmen to the mizbeach. And Tanah Malchus don't learn the Braisa. Yesh dvarm she'im kemum and ve'in kemum. There are things that seem like a blemish, but they're not really a blemish. And v'sheishtam leim ha'migdash, and therefore you could slaughter it as a karmen in the base of migdash, because it's not considered a blemish. Avaloi b'medina, where in contrast, that's not considered a blemish to be able to slaughter it out of the base of Middash. Ve'elohin, and they are, Eiz she'en l'karnayim, a goat that doesn't have horns, of a rachel she'esh l'karnayim, or a sheep that has horns, or v'atzimeach, v'hatzim, and v'atzimeach, these types of different issues with the ears, where although our Mishnah mentions them as a blemish, that's because we're talking about a person, we're going to get a kohen that's considered a blemish, because it's ein shavah b'zara shel aron, where we said that's only a blemish relating to the person. But regarding animals, it has to be a bona fide blemish. That's not considered a blemish, and therefore one could actually bring it as a carbon to base of Migdash. Another related teaching from Amar of Chizda, Amar Meimar, he says, Nitlu karnaisen v'zachrus nimon. If not only is the horn taken off, but its male projectile, which means to say the bone that's stuck into the horns, the horn has a bony protrusion that comes out of the head that the horn is on, so not only is the horn taken off, but also that bony protrusion, so basula, that invalidates it as a carbon. But ve'in poin alein. If let's say it's an animal of other kachim, not a b'chayr, you cannot redeem the kachim, because it's not considered a full-fledged mum, it's just enough to invalidate it to be brought as a carbon. Now, nutlu tlafayim b'zachrus nimon, let's say the hooves with its zachrus, its bony protrusions, which is the bones in the hooves, which is the bottom of the foot, if both of those are taken, that's psula menifna lem. That's Rav Chizda, that not only is that invalidated, but that also would allow it to be a bona fide mum to go ahead and redeem that carbon. However, on this last halacha, meisvi, the Gemara is from the Braisa. The Braisa says, nutlu karnayin v'tlafayim b'zachrus nimon. If the horns and or the hooves were taken with their protrusions that are inside of them, pesulin v'niftin aleim, they're invalid, and they could be redeemed, which is difficult contra of Chizda, who he said regarding the horns, that even if zachusna is taken, it cannot be redeemed. Here we see even regarding the horns, that they could be redeemed. So the Gemara Lekash is not a difficulty. The Braisa is tomatis akir isakure, where the horns with the roots of this bony protrusion are totally removed, and therefore you see holes in the head. That's considered a mum gamer to go ahead and even redeem. Ha, but Rav Chizda was talking about, although he said that the bony protrusion is taken out with it, was the igum igume, where it was cut on the top, but the roots, the bottoms of the bony protrusion still remains. Therefore, although it's possible, but that's not enough of a mum to go ahead and be able to redeem it. Well, that is the Gemara with the igum igume possible, but the way you're describing Rav Chizda, that it's only part of it was cut off, but part on the bottom still remains, that that then it's going to be even possible. But v'riminu, that seems to be contradictory from Mishnah Masechta's Parah. That seems like it's not even possible. The Mishnah says over there, Parah, the Parah Duma, the red heifer, which is used in the process of burning its ashes and to purify a person that's a Tamei Meis, shekarnel v'tlefesh charm. It has to be totally red. But let's say its horns or its hooves are black. Says the Mishnah, Yogud, you should cut it off. So you see that if you cut it off, it's not a puzzle. That's actually that's the way of kashering this the paraduma. So how are we saying that he's the ugume and it's going to be puzzle? So Tirgum Aziri is interpreted that this that the Mishnah says that you should cut off the horns or the hooves is me'ilovei zachris. It's actually above the bony protrusion, meaning there is a part of the horn, like two or three finger breadths, that the bony protrusion doesn't reach over there. If the black part doesn't reach the zachris, the bony part, that's what the Mishnah says, cut off that part of the horn or the hooves, and that's okay. You could even kasher the paraduma like that, so it won't have any black part. But more than that, if it's cutting any part of the bony protrusion, then it's going to be pasul. And then, like we learned in the Braitza, then and if it's totally removed that you even see holes in the head, then that's going to be even enough of a mum to go ahead and be redeeming the kachem because of that mum. Now, continue to Medbeis, where the Mishnah continues with the psulm in the kain, like the topic of our parak mum and elu, says the Mishnah, if dadin sheikhvin, if the kain has, the person has, breasts that are laying down, meaning they're very big and therefore they hang over, keshalish, like that of a woman, so that's a mum. Kresi tzava, if his stomach is blown up, or tivuri yaitza, or if his navel, which is the bottom of his stomach, comes out, these are mum. Nichve, if he falls because of this illness called epilepsy, which makes him fall down, even if it only happens once in a while, which comes at certain intervals, or ruach katzer ba'alav, or if he's possessed by a demonic spirit, or hama'ushvan, if his testicles are very large, ubal gever, or if his male member is very large, that these are going to be considered mumim for the kain. Now, relating to the idea of our Mishnah, regarding the last ideas of urology, Amr Ba'aba Bered Rebchi Barabi says, Mashtinin mayim b'fnei rabim. A person is allowed to urinate in front of the public, but vein shesin mayim b'fnei rabim. But he shouldn't drink water in front of the public, which we're talking about the custom of a Talmudic scholar, whose custom is to be modest in his eating and his drinking, so that shouldn't be done in public. But to urinate, don't be modest, because if one delays, that might be dangerous for the person. V'tan ha-mocha, similar in the Braisa, mashtin mayim b'fnei rabim, person should urinate in front of the public, again, if necessary, vein shesin mayim b'fnei rabim, but not to drink in the water in front of the public. It was actually such a story where someone needed to urinate and he didn't because people were around. And turned out that his stomach bloated up because of that. As we said, that's one of the mumim, and that's a problem, and therefore one shouldn't hold back. Now, the Gemara brings a Shmuel Itzrochale. One time Shmuel needed to urinate. B'Shabbat deRigla on the, it's called the Shabbos of the Yom Tov. 30 days before the Yom Tov, as the Gemara says in Megillat Avdal Marav, they would expound all the halachas of the Yom Tov. And Shmuel was expounding, and he had to be matl mayim. So nogdi leglimo. So they went. They took up a blanket to separate between him and the people that he could take care of his needs. Now asla kamei davu. He came in front of his father, and amalei. The father Shmuel said to him, "Etn lachad dal mei zuzi. So I'll give you 400 zuz. Vizila hadu uvden. I want you to go back and expound to the people and do this over again and tell them no. It's forbidden to wait to urinate until that it's a modest situation the way you did it." Because the Efshalach, you is possible to have a curtain separated because you are very distinguished and people are going to go through the effort to hang up a curtain to separate for you to do it. But the loy Efshalach, but a regular person who is not possible for him to wait until everybody leaves, listakin, it's going to be dangerous and it could cause him to become sterile, which could affect his ability to have children, and therefore one shouldn't go ahead and delay and try to do it in a modest way. Moreover, the Gemara tells that Mar Bar Avashi Itzrich Agudud Gamla, that he had to relieve himself, he had to urinate by the plank of the bridge. And Ashton, and he urinated. So Amalei, they said to him, Chamoscha Kaasya, your mother-in-law is coming. So Amalehu, he said to them, Bu'udna, that even in her ear, if I would have to, I would urinate. If I had nowhere else, before I would have to wait. And for sure, if it's in front of her, it doesn't make a difference. One has to go ahead and do this so that it doesn't come dangerous. Now, the Gemara asked, regarding what we mentioned before, that there was a person that had to urinate but didn't, and therefore the consequence was that his stomach bloated up. So the Gemara asked, how do we know that it's because he waited to urinate? But typically, Mishum Alka, maybe it's because he drank, and in the drink was a leech, which actually could cause the stomach to bloat. Maybe that was the cause. So the Gemara, no, Bishesis. It was talking about where he wasn't able to urinate very well after that incident, and rather it was dripping drop by drop, and that most definitely is because of that he held back the urination that he had to do at that time. Now, Tanabon Linda Bryce, that Shnei Nekovim Yeshbei Ba'adam. There's two holes, meaning there's two pipes, two ducts that a person has in his male member. Echad Meitzi Shesen, one releases the urine. The Echad Meitzi Shech Vezer, one actually releases the semen. The Ein Ben Zeh Lezeh, like a Klipas Hashem, there's no difference that divides between these two pipes, but rather like the thickness of the peel of a garlic. Very thin. It basically looks like it's the same thing, but it's actually separated. Now, b'shosh adam nitzach, but when a person needs to urinate, im nikvu zeh l'teich zeh, if because he's holding back, that causes to make a hole from one pipe to the other pipe, nimtzaker will come out that he could become sterile because of the rupture that it caused for his ability to have children. And similarly, Amar Rish Lakish, he says, Maitrich said, what does it mean the pasuk in Devarim? Lo yibcha akar v'akar v'amtecha, that there shouldn't be amongst you a sterile man, a sterile woman, and then your animal. Meaning, when is it that you are not going to become sterile? At a time when you're going to make yourself like an animal, that you're not going to be modest when you're urinating, just like an animal that goes out and do it. As we said, one shouldn't delay because of the danger if one does. A different interpretation of this pasuk, Rabbi Shimon Levi says, means to say, which means sterile, meaning not having children. He says, it means minal tamidim, that you won't have a lack of students. Va'akara means that your prayer will not be removed in front of Hashem, meaning when you're going to pray for children, your tefillahs will be heard. Amosai, when is that? Says the pasuk, when you make yourself like an animal, that you don't delay from urinating, because if a person does, that could actually cause a problem with children, and then Hashem is not going to listen necessarily to a person's prayer regarding children. But if a person doesn't delay, then he will not be held back from his prayers of children being heard in front of Hashem. Now, Amar Papa, he says, a related halach, he says, Le'ashen odemayim, a person should not urinate, lo'yal klicheres, not in an earthenware vessel, meaning in the urinal of earthenware, because what do they do with that urine afterwards? They throw it into the river, which is nearby, in Bavel, and the rivers of Bavel, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, they go up to Ein Eitim, which is near Tisrael. And neither v'lo'yal makam kasha, you shouldn't urinate on hard earth, which doesn't get absorbed, and it just flows in the ground till it flows into the slopes, which goes into the river. Because Dama Rav said, Hanim endured the Bavel, these slopes of the areas of the land of Bavel, Mahadri Ma'ilein Etim, brings the water, goes back up to Ein Etim, which is actually the place where the Kohen Gadol immerses in Yom Kippurim, as the Gemara says, Yuma Deflam Anav Manav, and therefore that would not be appropriate for them to urinate, that water would then go into that waters of Ein Etim. On Abaye, he says, Ha'itza, oh, this woman, Le'itekim lehedye ba'ampe yunuka. She should not stand directly in front of the child when she's urinating. And because that's disgraceful, that's audacious to go ahead and urinate right in front of the child. But Akisa, but if it's to the side of the child, which is not urinating right in front of the child, less lamba, then that we have no problem with that. The Tanya Lund, the Bryce of Shimming Lilam, he says, Amud ha'chezer, which is the excrement that a person pulls back and doesn't relieve himself. Maybe Adam Ladeh Hadrekin can bring a person to an intestinal illness called dropsy. And Silen HaChezer, which is the pulling back from urinating, maybe Adam Ladeh Yarkin brings a person to jaundice, which is an illness in the body. Amar Rabbi Barav Huna, Amar Rav Ketina, Amar Shlokesh. It says, Dom Rove, if someone has an increase of blood, meaning as in Talmudic times they used to do Hakaza, which would be bloodletting. So someone has an overabundance of blood, Shchin Rove, so then he gets an increase of boils. Shech Vezera Rove, if he has an increase of semen, meaning someone has a wife and he doesn't have marital relations, so he has an increase of semen. Tsaras Rove, so then he increases leprosy. Tsai Rove, if he has an increase of excrement, where he's not releasing that, Hadraken Rava. So as we said before, then he has an increase of this Hadraken, this dropsy. And Miraglime Ravan, when he has an increase of urine, where he's not releasing that, it's a Yarkin Rava, then he has an increase of jaundice. Now, the Gemara continues with the Mishnah that said, Mumen of the Kain is Ruach Katsris Bolav. If he has this demonic spirit, this Ruach of Katsris, comes on him, that's considered a Mum. Says Gemara, mind me, what is that? So tell me, in the Brisa, Ruach ben the fallen Baalav. It's the spirit of idiocy that comes through this demon, which is ben the Nephilim, comes on him. If such a person has that, that's considered a mum for a person. Now the Mishnah similarly said, Hamu'ushvin u'bal gever are considered mumen. So tell me, in the Brisa, what is this? So Meshubin is bebeitzim, if his testicles are very large. U'bal gever, Shalom doesn't mean to say the man of the man is begid, is that his male member is very large. Similarly, Tanu Balit Nebraisa Meshubin Zehakayan and Hargarvasan, which that's the same species as Balgever, Zebalkik, which as the Bryce explains, Kain is Bebates, and that's when the testicles are very large, and Garvasan's begid is when the male member is very large. Now, the Gemara asks, and Ad Kama, how big does the male member have to be that that's going to be considered a blemish in the person? So Machver Behuda pointed and he showed Adruchuba until the knee. Now Tanu learned the Braisa, two different versions. Rabbi Yezim and Yaakov, he says Adruchuba pasul, if it goes till the knee, it's pasul. Lamalam in Ruchuba kasher, it's only kasher if it's above the knee. Ikadam, those that say, no, Adruchuba kasher, if it goes till the knee, it's kasher. Lamatam in Ruchuba pasul, it's only pasul if it goes below the knee. If that's how long the male member is, that's going to be considered amum. Now the Mishnah continues on this theme of the previous Mishnah regarding the person's male member. So Ainley Beitzim, if he doesn't have testicles, or Ainley Elabeya Achas, if he only has one testicle, Harezim Meroich Ashacham Omer Batera, says the Talikama, that's what's mentioned in the Torah as a psul in a person, which is called Meroich Ashach, as we'll explain in the Gemara. Shmuel Amihi says, no, it's something else. It means kol shenimoichu Ashkav, or as Gir says Rashi, shenimrichu Ashkav, means say, if his testicles are crushed, then that's the psul of Meroich Ashach. Kivaim, he says it different. He says kol sheruach bashach. He says if his testicles are inflated, if there's wind in his testicles, that's the psul. And the fourth interpretation of Chanina Menachem, he says kol shemarav chashuchim. Says something else, nothing to do with the testicles. Says if it's black like a kushi, like a kuthi, then that's the psul of a kain. Now the Gemara explains that the reason why Bishmol disputed the interpretation of the Tanakama, who he said meroich ashach is if he doesn't have testicles or if he has only one. So kasha le Bishmol, because it was difficult to Rabbi Shmuel, that if so, that is talking about that there's no testicles, and that's what the pasuk is saying. So hachaser ashach mebayle. So if ashach refers to the testicles, it should have said that if he's missing it, why does it say meroich ashach? Rather, tani shenimrchu ashach. Let's say therefore give a different interpretation. Meroich is from the word of crushed, of dissolved of the testicles. Now, but kasha le Rabbi Kiva had a difficulty in Rabbi Shmuel's interpretation. Hai memeroich ashach mebayle. It shouldn't have said with one mem. It should have said it with two mems, because according to Rabbi Shmuel, the mem of Merech is a prefix. It's part of the word itself. And therefore, if you're making a noun out of it, it should add another mem. So rather, Tani, Shaharuach Bashachav. Therefore, he said a different interpretation where the mem is not from the word, because actually the word itself is Ruach, if there's wind, if there's air in the testicles. But the fourth interpretation, Kash Lebchanin Matignish. Lebchanin Matignish had a difficulty with Rabbi Akiva's interpretation because Hayruach Ashach Mebayle. It shouldn't have said with a mem. It should have just said Ruach Ashach if there's air inside the testicles. Rather, he said a fourth interpretation, Tani Shemarav Chashuchim. What it means to say is if his appearance is dark. Where do you get that in the word Meroyach Ashach? Because Ksaba, he held Goyrin. We could remove a letter from the words. So if you take Meroyach Ashach, if you take the last letter of Meroyach, the Ches, and you take the first letter of the next word, so these two letters are right near each other, you take the Aleph of Ashach, if you take them away, Umeisifin, and then you add them on, so you take the Ches of Meroyach, and you switch it basically, the Ches and Aleph are switching, you take the Ches and add it on to the Aleph of Ashach, so that's the word Cheshach, and you take the Aleph of Ashach, and you take it to where the Ches of Meroyach is, which is basically Mara, and Bedershin, then you can expound. So then you can read the word Meroyach Chayshach, his appearance is dark. That is the psul of Meroyach Ashach of a kain. Says the Gemara, but Haini Kushi. But then that's the category of being like a Kushi, of a Kuthin, which is of the Kushis from Kushi, which is their black. Now, a Kushi was not Kuthim, but the Kushi, which explicitly learned in the Mishnah later on the next daf, Memeonav, HaKushi Vagicher, is not possible with Avodah. Yet he's saying that that's the psul of the Torah of a mum and a kain. Says the Gemara, B'chanim, I'm taking this Leitani Kushi. You're right, he doesn't learn that in his Mishnah that Kushi is considered as one of those that are not possible with Avodah, because he actually holds that is the biblical mum of a kain, of Meroyach Ashach, where Gairin, the Messiah, from the Dation, he holds actually Kushi is a mum in the kain.